Says the Chovas Avovas, he says, Omer b'tshuva zeh. He says, my answer is as follows. Ki ha-gaiva, if you talk about gaiva, if you talk about pride, so the Chovas Avovas mischalekes b'shnei chalokim. There are two kinds of pride. Okay, listen to this. There are two kinds of pride, says the Chovas Avovas. Echol mehen, one type of a pride is gaivas hodem begufo. You have a person who takes pride in his body, face. He's very strong. Maybe he's very powerful. Maybe he's very tall. Right? Maybe he considers himself to be handsome. He takes pride in his physical body. Ubinyone gufoi, his physical skills. He takes pride. Takes pride in his physical skills, or maybe vitikunov hagufiim, or maybe his material possessions. That's one type of gaiva. The chelik hasheni, then you can have gaive, spiritual gaive. In other words, pride in his spiritual virtues. Gavosoi b'malois of haruchnius. His gaive is not in his physical. His gaive is not in his material acquisitions. His gaive is, right, regarding his milos haruchnius in his spiritual virtues, either b'chokhma, in his wisdom, and he takes pride, right, that he feels that he had performed well in serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu, serving his Creator. So now, goes to Chovas Avovas, right, and analyzes both types of gaiva. He says as follows. The first one, again, was the gaiva where man has pride in his body. Man has pride in his body. Okay, says the Chovas Avovas. The Chol, he says, the whole gaive shitiya machmas hagufiyim, any gaive that derives from something physical, that is in total, right, in total contrast to humility. Gaive, if you, the gaive is something, right, you take pride in something that's physical, that's a total stira contradiction, he says, to humility. Himrachekes hakniya min alev. It, right, it drives humility out of the heart. A pride that derives from something physical, right, it drives humility out of the heart. And it's impossible, his kapsom levechot. It's impossible for both traits to reside together within the same heart. Why? Ba'avur ha'chokas kol echon mehem eschaveroi. One precludes the other. You can't have another and pride in the physical at the same time. If you are proud, right, and boastful, but something physical, that's direct contrast, complete opposite from humility. So this is a tremendous theory, clearly. As he says, Kikasha yizgoeh odom b'dovar medivrei oilom, because when a person becomes proud of some worldly good, right, so then the truth is, ein mavir lozeh, say, no one brings him to this, because he does not appreciate that it's coming from Kodesh Baruch Hu. He says, because if you know what you have comes from Kodesh Baruch Hu, then how can you take personal pride in something that Bechal has nothing to do with you? If you take pride in anything that's physical, it means that you have inadvertently caused disrespect to the Creator who has given it to you. Ein mavir lozeh. In other words, what brings them to this pride? El bozois, to be mevazeh bala toiva. You're being mevazeh the benefactor who gave you all of that. Means HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? Umiyuta etzlo. Right? And you have a lack of appreciation. You have a lack of appreciation to HaKadosh Baruch Hu who gave it to you. Umiyat yidiyoso, he says, and being oblivious to this, not recognizing this, he doesn't recognize also that whatever physical that he has can be taken away from him in a second, in a moment. Umiyat yidiyoso bimhiras hasoroso memeno. He doesn't even realize he has such little yidiyah, not recognizing how quickly it can be taken away, unisiyoso mi'etzlo, how it may leave him, right? The Yachshoy, so this person obviously, he's not aware of all that. He just thinks that what? Ki hu ha-meitiv bo li'atzmoi. He imagines that he is his own benefactor. That's what he imagines. Hu ha-meitiv bo li'atzmoi. He's the one who brought all of this good. He believes that he acquired all of this good through his own power, through his own wisdom. Some of you said the Yerushalayim have said, Kemoshoma Sancheriv, for example, Sancheriv, Melech Ashur, Sancheriv said, Bekoyach Yodi Osisi, for the power of my hand I have done this. Who else said similar to that? Voman Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar was Melech Bovel, also took the power for themselves. What did he say in Daniel? He said, Nebuchadnezzar said, Haloidohi Bovel Rapso. Is this not the great Bovel? And the Pesuk is later. Is this not the great Bovel, he says, that I have built myself as a royal residence by my mighty power? So here you find all of these people, right, had the Ashkofe, that whatever they acquired, they were the ones that did it. And similarly, Vomar Pari. Pari claimed that he was the one who created the Nile River. Pari. Vomar Pari, Posi Cheskel, Li Oiri, Va'ani Asisini. He says, I have my Nile, right, and I've made it myself. So says Pari. Guess what? Whenever these kings, right, boasted, right, and tried to give the impression to take all the covenants for themselves, all of them had downfall. All of them had downfall, he says. For Yudato Mashahoyo, take it from Arab. And very swift. Didn't take long. Whenever they made this proclamation, Nebuchadnezzar lost what he had, Sennacherib lost what he had, Pari lost what he had. Take it from Amoram, he said. As soon as they finished speaking, right, what happened? Maharisas, Malchusom, their kingdoms were destroyed, Tashchosas, Memshaltom, and their rule was eliminated. Okay, so that's very poshut. So a person who takes pride, right, he's boastful about the physical, that clearly is a totally, says, opposite, diametrically, right, opposed to humility. It's a direct contrast with humility. These two cannot coexist. Can't coexist. Because boasting about the physical is obviously because you don't recognize who gave it to you, right? And in your mind, you're living with a belief that it's your chokhmah, it's your wisdom, and so on. So that is totally the opposite of humility. Now, what about spiritual gaiva? Spiritual gaiva, says the Chazal, also has two parts. It's not so poshut, spiritual gaiva. There's a positive and a negative even in the realm of the spiritual. And he goes on to explain further. He says, Ach, he says, Hagaiva, Shebemalus Aruchnius, Mishalekis Ishnei Chalokim. Talking about pride in spiritual virtues is also of two kinds. Echad mehem meguneh, one is shameful or blameworthy, Vasheni Mishubach, and the other one is praiseworthy. Blameworthy and praiseworthy, even the spiritual realm. He goes on to explain. Hamaguna, he says, which is the one, right? Which is the one, he says, that is maguna, which is shameful. The shameful one is, this follows. Where a person takes pride, right? He takes pride, an individual, right, in his wisdom. Tzadik b'maseyu, or tzadik, look what tzadik I am. Look at tzadik as him. I do all this good. I do all this chesed. I do so much learning. I do so much davening, and all that. The goyim zeh. So what happens when a person thinks about, right? He thinks about all his righteousness, and he thinks about all of his wisdom. So what happens is, as a result of that pride, may lead. The first thing is, it caused him to rest on his laurels. He says, I'm such a great tzaddik, so there's no need for me to try even to grow. There's need for me even to try to pursue, even to grow. In other words, I already have accomplished. I'm already smart. I'm already very wise, and so on. Right? Because it becomes, right, he's content with what he has achieved. He has a good name already. Shem HaTov means he has a good name. Oh, I already have a good name. So there's no reason for me to keep working anymore or to become a bigger Eved Hashem. There's no reason for me to try, right, to grow in other areas and so on and so forth. He's content with achieved, and he thinks it's enough. Look, I established a good reputation. Right, I have a Shema Toif, Vashevach Etzel B'nei Odom, and people praise, human beings are praising me. And as a result, you know what happens also? And then also he puts other people down, because he always thinks about his own milus. Well, the Vaz is B'nei Odom. And this, right, can induce him to belittle other people, the Ligoyel Behem, and to scorn other people. And it brings him to speak disparagingly of other people. And even sometimes, even to criticize Gedol Yisrael. Look, Gedol Yisrael is also human. So Mele, he's going to start criticizing them. And even great sages, right? He's going to take glory in their shortcomings. Sometimes, you know, them go, right? Nobody's perfect. But he's going to gloat on that. Right? And he's going to therefore take glory in their shortcomings. And sometimes, if he happens to know something that his friends don't know, he's gonna take glory. He's gonna take glory, right, with glee, to the inferior knowledge of his friends. Will inspire the kitzur chaveru of the sechuzon, and he's going to be boasting the fact that his chaverim, right, have not reached up to him. And that is, this type of a behavior is what the Gemara tells us, the Rishalmi, that a person, this is the kind of a person, he's a person who exalts himself to the dishonor of his fellow. Some people just gain covet by others are lower than them, by belittling other people, and so on. Ukaze, this type of a person, lo yeh nichnev lo yonov. This person can neither be humble, nor can he be a modest, person. So be kitzer. You can have, by the way, Tosfos says the same thing, Brachos Daf Yizayim. The Gemara says, koloyim es shloi lishma, somebody learns shloi lishma, one Gemara says, noyech loy shloi nivra. Right? It's better he never was created. But then there's another Gemara says, right, Mesachim Daf Nun, Shloi Lishma is not, it's not such a bad thing. But just the opposite. The Gemara says, Loi Lam Yil Moidor Lam Afil Shloi Lishma, Shemitach Shloi Lishma Bo Lishma. You know, even if you're not learning for the sake of Lishem Shemayim, you're learning for ulterior motives. Right? It's not so bad because we're not in the Madrega right away to learn Lishem Shemayim. First I'm going to be learning Shloi Lishma, maybe because of Parnosa reasons, maybe, right, maybe for a little bit of COVID, whatever the reason is. But Shematach Shloi, hopefully Shematach Shloi Lishma, Bo Lishma, ultimately you reach the Madrega. But then the other Gemara says, if you learn Shloi Lishma, it's Noyach Lo, it's better that you would not have been created. So how do you explain it? So Tosfos says, there's two types of Shloi Lishma. There's one Shloi Lishma I'm learning because I want a little bit of COVID, or maybe I want Parnosa. So even though it's not Lishem Shemayim, it's not such a bad Shloi Lishma. But there's another kind. There's a Shloi Lishma which I want to learn to be knowledgeable, to be able to show other people, right, that I'm, to knock them, to belittle them. Lekanter, to be able to show them, you don't know. There are people simply take pride, to be able to show other people that they, I know and you don't know. That kind of a Shloi Lishma is inexcusable. And for that kind of a Shloi Lishma, learning, a manas lekanter, to be able to chep other people, right? To be able to hurt them, and so on. That is a kind of Shloi Lishma that noyech lo yishlo nivra. What the Chertovov is talking about, that some people, yeah, they may do a lot of learning, and they can do a lot of good things, but the idea is, again, to be able to eventually is be able to put other people down, which may lead them to put other people down. But then there's a positive type of a pride, and if we come to this finally over here, Mishubach, he says, and the chelik which is mishubach, he says the type of pride which is praiseworthy. When the wise man takes pride in his chokhma, or a tzaddik b'maseihu, or a tzaddik takes pride in his deeds, he says, but he used as a thanking Hashem. I appreciate Hakadosh Baruch Hu for giving me the opportunity that I was able to learn today. You thank Hakadosh Baruch Hu for giving me the opportunity that I was able, right, to accomplish a good deed today. Another, whatever he does, he takes pride in the fact, right, that he is zoche to be in this madrega and thanking Hakadosh Baruch Hu all the time. The simcha bavur. And he has tremendous appreciation and joy in this virtue. As a result, he wants to do even more. In other words, it's a type of a pride which is a positive pride, which means he has a simcha that he has the siyata d'shamayah to be able to accomplish what is accomplished, and that should spur him on to do more. And Adrabe, he becomes humble in front of other people. Right? He becomes humble to other people. In other words, it's an erlicha type of appreciation of one's madrega, which he rejoices with his friends. He's sensitive to the COVID. He does not want to expose their inferior knowledge. He always speaks in praise of other people. And to love them. To defend them, well, he's obligated them to show respect. The yamatu bein of komatz v'atoyim adrabe. All that he does appears to be few. As much as he does, it appears to be few. Here's the thing: Moshe Rabbeinu was honored by all of them. It's a very important nekuda. People ask the question. The Torah tells Moshe Rabbeinu was the greatest honor of among all the human beings. Question: did not Moshe Rabbeinu know that he was the only one who Hashem spoke to him, ponim uponim, as Kodesh Baruch Hu face to face? Did not Moshe Rabbeinu know, obviously, that he was the one who brought down the Torah to Klal Yisrael? Did not Moshe Rabbeinu know that he was the leader of Klal, he took the Yin out of Mitzrayim, everything like that? So what does it mean, Moshe Rabbeinu was the biggest honor? What does it mean? The answer is, an honor is not someone who does not know his madrega. It's a big mistake. Some people say, no, he does not know his madrega. That's not true. An honor knows his madrega. Ramosha didn't know that he was the Pesach Hador. Of course he knew, because if you don't know your madrega, it's not called an onof, it's called somebody, it's a foolish person. An onof means, in spite of all your madregas, it doesn't go to your head. In other words, you say to yourself, hey, had somebody had maybe my kishra, my talent, maybe he would have done more. If somebody would have been given all the opportunities that I had, right? Could have also achieved it, and so on and so forth. And therefore, it does not take the credit for himself, but rather these are matonis. It's like someone is born with blue eyes. Is there a reason to take pride? You're born with it. It's not something that you have achieved at all. You say to you, Moshe Ben said, if somebody else would have given the same opportunities that he had, and so they maybe would have achieved even greater things than Moshe Ben achieved, and so on and so forth. So an honor is not someone that knows Madrega, but rather he doesn't let it go to his head. Because why? Because had somebody else been given the same talent, would have had the same situations, would have maybe even done even a better job than he was. And Moshe Ben holds himself to task, and he himself should have been greater also. And that's what he says here, the Chaim Sofer, is that as much that positive pride means that a person, basically, that a person views, right, all his ma'asim tovim to be few, which means that he still feels the need to continuously grow. He's still not a sholem, and he tomit to reach laharbois mehem, and he works constantly to be able to increase them. So in any case, okay, so we see here from the Chovas Havavas Bekitzer, so there is pride in the physical, which is definitely a negative, and then you have pride in the spiritual, which could be sometimes negative, and of course, it can be positive as well. Pride in the physical means taking pride, therefore you want to do more, you want to achieve more, you want to serve a Kodesh Baruch Hu better, trying to figure out ways how to work better. Now, here I want to show you just two lines because the time is moving on. Look at number four, just a few lines here. Look at number four in the bottom. Mekor HaChaim. Mekor HaChaim is from Rabbi Yomin Zilber. Mekor HaChaim from Rabbi Yomin Zilber. On the words again in the Chovas Havavos, Val Teis Tel Drochov, right, do not allow yourself to be deceived by the Yesara. That what? So he teaches Kidrochecho Zach Vyoshur, Ratzaloimer, Semukar Chaim. With the Rosh is saying, Shal Yishmal Yetzahara, Hamesisoi Vaoimaloi, Kidrochecho Him Zach Vyoshur. Okay, that's a new Yetzahara. There's the Yetzahara that keeps telling you that whatever you do, you're okay, you're a tzaddik. You're a tzaddik. There's different Yitzhar comes in different ways. The Yitzhar that says to you, it's okay, don't worry about yourself. You're okay, you're a tzaddik, and everything that you do is fine, everything you do is good. There's no need to improve. So he says, be careful about that. Be careful when the Yitzhar tells you, Kidrochecho Zach V'yoshur. When the Yitzhar telling you that your ways are pure and they are straight. So he says like this. Because the truth is that the Yetzirah comes in two ways. So, first you want to save time, so look over here on the left side, number 6. Look here on the left side, number 6 on top. The left side, number 6 on top. The Sefer called Vayomer Yehuda. Interesting Sefer. And he points out like this. There's a beautiful little medrash. Everybody thinks that the source of it is a fairy tale of some sort. You may have heard this little maisa. However, this is a medrash, it's a chazal. And so the Pesach Lepesach Chatas Revis, because Baruch was telling all the Marishan, he says that the Yetzirah is always at the entrance. In other words, at the entrance, sin crouches. Lepesach Chatas Revis. You have to be very careful. You know, when you enter a place, you enter someplace, be careful where you're entering. Because the Yetzirah is lurking there and he's ready to grab you. Lepesach Chatas Revis. Listen to this little Maise. Listen to this little Maise in Chazal. It's a beautiful little Maise. Again, some people. You can read in other sources as well. Nobody, or hardly anybody, ever realizes that this is, in fact, it's a medrash. Listen to this little maisa. But there's a strong, powerful message. Omar Reb Tanchum Bar Morion. The Tanchum Bar Morion says, Is Kalben Beroimi. There are dogs in Rome. Hest? Roman dogs have a special strategy. They're very smart, Roman dogs. And this is what they do, okay? Dogs of Rome. Is Kalben Beroimi, the Yodin Lemishtadla. They know how to be Mishtadla. They really know how to achieve what they want to achieve. Roman dogs have a plan. Roman dogs have a strategy. First we'll say the words, and then we'll see the pirish. He brings the pirish on the medrash is Matonis Kumene. Okay, so let's say the few words. Ozl the Yosef Kamed de Baltire, the Ovid Garme Misnamne. Right? Umiyat paltire misnamnem vuhushomit agula aara adhumitsayisloim humistakir igula mahalabe. This is a medrash rabbe brachis. What is it? What happened over here? Listen, it's a beautiful little story. Upirish matons gune. Listen to this. Translated word for word. Yesh klovim beroimi. Okay? There are dogs in Rome. Sheyoidim li shtadalahem panasosa machochma. Look, dogs are hungry. They have to find food. right? So they have to figure out ways how they're going to get food. They roam the streets. In Rome, they know how to do it. What do? The kachoisim. There's a bakery. Right? The bakery bakes fresh bread. What the dog does, he goes in front of the bakery and makes himself as if, lies down as if he's asleep. They go and they sit down before the baker, and they give the impression as if they are lying asleep. Today, why? So in order that the baker should not be afraid that the dog wants to steal bread, because the dog is sleeping. The dog, right, does not want the owner to be afraid of him, thinking that he's going to steal the bread. So the dog gives the impression, right, as if he's sleeping. So the baker will not be careful. But Avum is not there. So now the baker also, if he's comfortable, he can also take a little nap. Look, the dog is asleep, I may also take him. The moment that the baker falls asleep, at the koma kelef, so now the kelef jumps up, they show him a tikkurus lechem, and he starts and he pulls down a whole tray of bread. So now the baker wakes up, so what is he doing? So quickly he's trying to grab a loaf of bread. The dog manages to grab one. Because the baker's really there, right? 20 breads fell off the table. So now the baker very quickly is trying to collect them all. So while the baker is busy, it takes time to collect them all. The dog managed to get one. And he leaves. This mice is emotional. He also finds ways how to ambush a person, and he tries to capture him in his net that he has spread out for him. And the question is, what moshel can we attribute to the Yetzer? The Medrash uses that lepesach chatas reivitz. The Medrash uses that moshel of the dog to how the Yetzer Hara works. So practically speaking, what is the marshal of the Yetzer Hara, right, similar to the mice that the Roman dogs do? Right? To the trickery of the Yetzer Hara, the marshal with the kelev, means the Yetzer Hara works the same way that the kelev works. Yetzer Hara works the same way that the kelev works. So it brings that from a sefer called Gevilei Yesh. I'm not sure who that is. Zatzal, Rav Nissen Zatzal, and he says as follows: Yesh ha'odam nichshol b'avere. There is a person that's nichshol b'avere v'libo mismala achikach tzar rav al shenichshol. There's one situation where a person is nichshol b'avere and he has a lot of tzar. Yes, sir. Upa'omim, there are other times that odam nichshol b'avere b'tzase tzahara ve'enem ischaret al mashi oso. Listen to that. Sometimes a person, right, can be so caught up in the Yetzer Hara that he's nichshol, he doesn't even realize he's nichshol. Forget, he thinks that he overpowered the Yetzer Hara. The Yetzer Hara can sometimes blind you, that he's machshol you, not only don't you have charotah, but you even think that you overpowered him. There's one situation where Yetzer Hara was machshol you in Aveira and you have charotah. You recognize it's an Aveira. There's other times the Yetzer Hara was really machshol you, not only don't you have charotah, but you even think that you won. And he gives a few very interesting examples. The dogma. Baboiker, he says, comes the morning, he says, Boy Yetzirah el Odom, umesisoy lebal yaniach tfilin hayoim. Very emotional. Yetzirah comes and tells you, listen, today, I don't think you should put on a tfilin. He says, that he gives him good reason. Ray. Rimmel says, Hashok fa mucheres, you got up late. You have to go to work. He says, Hashok fa mucheres, Tim tatschol niach tfilin, if you can start to put on tfilin, ta'achol avoyde, you'll be late for work. So the person says, nah, I'm not going to listen to the Yetzer. What do you do? You put on tefillin, but you know what you do? You daven a quarter of the davening. So he says, I didn't let that Yetzer. He got you. He got you. In other words, half a davening he took away from you. But you're focusing on something else. Right? I put on tefillin. Oh, I did not allow myself to listen to the Yetzer. So Ms. Gabra Odom Alatsamoy Vena Nena La Sosa Sayetzer, he does not allow himself, right, to be taken in by the Yetzer. Umaniach film, Avakim Shasho Omna Mucher, the being that's takalate, Umaniach Bechov Zosat film. Put it on very quickly, Kreira Krishma Bulat, all he does is say Krishma, Rosla Voida. Umahara Beliboy, and he thinks to himself, right, with a sprinkling of Gaiva, ah, he says, I didn't let the Yetzer get me. Here's another example, he says. Oiduma Cheris. Chil Shabbos. Sometimes a person has a lot of business, right? Shmir Shabbos is a very big nesoyin. You close the store for Shabbos, So he says like this. He says, Adam Shesh La Sokim Rabim, a person that has a lot of businesses. The Isahara Mesisa El Chalos HaShabbos. Kedei Lahaviach Momen. Isahara says, Be Mechal Shabbos. Look, you can make so much more money. Or Kedei Shlo Yafzid Momen. Or shouldn't lose money. So Bavada, I'm going to listen to the Isahara. He wants me to Mechal Shabbos. I'm not a Mechal Shabbos. Bavada Shoy Sodom Eina Shemei La Sasisa Chalos HaShabbos Kulit. I'm not. But you know what? He comes home late. In other words, what is, yeah, you better wait. So, he comes home late, or he leaves Shabbos early. In other words, he makes a dollar early. So he said to himself, "Yes, I want to be Michal Shabbos." No, he says. Lemaisi says, "Whom Achil Kabbalah says Shabbos v'Knisas Shabbos." He delays Kabbalah Shabbos, and he's Makabbalah Shabbos when it's already late. Or Umagdim Lahoitzes says Shabbos, and he says, "Look at that." He says, "Yes, I want to be Michal Shabbos. I didn't allow myself," and so on and so forth. It goes many situations. So I'm going to turn the sheet on the side. So it comes out like this, he says. The Yitzhahara, right, was trying to tell you to be Mechal of the Gansi Shabbos, so you didn't let him to be, you didn't allow that, but you're Mechal a little Shabbos. You think you beat the Yitzhahara. So just like the dog, right? Now, at the end of the day, he says, the baker is very happy, he says, that he saved all the breads, right? Even though he lost one. I saved all the others. The Yitzhahara also makes you think happy, he says, even though you didn't do what the Yitzhahara did fully, the Yitzhahara Gufa wants you to be Machshir a little bit, and you're even happy that you didn't do more. You went Machshir more. That's what said. That is the way the Mahalach works. So this is what the Rosh is telling us. Be very careful in the different strategies that the Yitzhahara comes to tell you. You're doing fine, you're doing okay. And the truth is, he was Machshir you, but you don't even realize it. Because why? Because look, it could have been much worse. And the fact is, so this is exactly the type of emotional, but to the case of the caliph. At the end of the day, the baker is happy, not realizing he might have lost the bread. But the baker is happy. Look, I salvaged all the others. But at the same time, the dog got hold of you. He did manage to take away one of the breads. The same with the Esau also. You would think by salvaging a little bit that you really were not saying that you were goyver on the Yitzhahara. Let me just conclude with a cute little mice. If we're talking about the Yitzhahara, it's a thing where Sholem Shadron once pointed out, and he says as follows. There was a very prominent Talmud of the Arizal, who mamish lay on his deathbed. A very prominent Talmud of the Arizal, who lay on his deathbed. So the friends and family, they gathered around him, named mamish to say their final words. So one Talmud Chochom, he bent close to the dying man and said, he's dying. He says, maybe I can ask you a question. He's asking a dying man. What do you ask a dying man a question? He's a Chosh Adam Chosef. Talmud of the Riazal. He says, tell me, is the Yitzhahara still with you at this moment? The guy's dying already. So let me know, at this point, how long does the Yitzhahara continue to be with a person? Is the Yitzhahara still with you at this dying moment? And the elderly person was weak and he was frail. He shook his head and said, yes, Yitzhahara is still with me. So the Talmud Chochem says, but what possibly, he says, can the Yitzhahara be telling you at this moment? You're dying. So what is the Yitzhahara trying to tell you this moment? So he said, the Yitzhahara is telling me that I should say Shema Yisrael in a loud voice to make sure that people were speaking. He died with holiness and purity. God tzaddik, he died. Look at that. As you say, Shema Yisrael loud. So every moment, any situation, he says, you're doing a mitzvah, but the Yitzhahara is always trying to put his two cents in. And that's something that Rosh says, we always have to be careful. When we do a good thing, make sure that the Yitzhahara is not a shutif in the good things that you're doing. Thank you.